What's up, guys? Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you'll get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co, and be sure to add our podcast in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episodic podcasting adventure. It's Dogamania.
Everybody in that goddamn dressing room knows that I'm the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. If you don't like it, cut shit. That, my friends, is gonna leave a mark.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episodic adventure. This is Dogamania. I'm your co-host, Dez, here with my amigo, the boozer weight. He likes sharp cheddar with his apple pie. J-Bomb, say hello.
I've never had sharp cheddar with my apple pie, but there was people in the Discord, the 80 proof Discord, talking about it. And I just came out and said, it's a thing that sharp cheddar is known to be served with apple pie.
So that's the first time I've ever seen that. Definitely really? Intrigues me, because I think that could be a good combination. So is the idea to bake it into the crust, or you're having cheese on the side? What is this combo?
I believe it's like just straight up like a piece of cheese on top of the apple pie.
And it's melted?
Well, I think if it's warm apple pie, the cheese starts to melt a bit. But at the end of the day, you could just have it. It's like, it's got to be sharp cheddar. You know what I mean? It's got to like.
That's exactly what got me hooked. Just kind of checking the Discord. I was working from home doing some stuff. I saw that pop up in the corner. I'm like, huh, that's interesting.
I know. I'm like, oh, Des chimed in. He's got to be pretty hungry for some apple pie and sharp cheddar, man.
I like cheese. And also, I was doing the non-lactose for a while. And like, man, it's been tough not having. That was the hardest part. Avoiding milks and stuff. There's alternatives. But I missed the cheese. So
I had vegan cheese the other day.
What's that all about?
I've had vegan shredded cheese and it's trash. But this was like sliced cheese, and it was fucking delicious.
Cool. Yeah. Good to hear. Because, there's those people that try to pass off tofu, and they're like, oh, no, you just need to make it properly. No, dude, tofu is not the worst thing. If it's in my meal, I'm going to eat it. But I'm not going to, my wife cooks with it, puts it in miso soup and shit. But
I don't mind it in miso soup. Yeah. It kind of like works with that. Or if it's like little tiny pieces in some sort of a salad, I'm okay with it. But I don't want a brick of fucking tofu on my plate.
Well, that's it. I'll eat it if it's served to me, but I'm not going to go out and put it in my meal offhand, Like,
I ain't going to figure out how to cook it.
Yeah. It's like a watery sponge with some flavor. Even when you get the most flavor into it, you still, it's still not.
It's like, what, it's soybeans and shit?
Yeah, which is good for you, but no thank you.
Nah, no thanks, dude. I'll pass.
Yeah.
I ate steak this week for the first time in a long time. T-bone steak at IGA was special.
I'm cooking one tonight. Yeah.
They were on sale.
I actually picked up two. Me and my wife had them this weekend, and then I went back to the store for something else this week, and I picked up another one for us to share tonight. Because I didn't want to overkill it, but like if we share one, then I feel that's the compromise.
T-bone steak.
But yeah, man, good shit. Can't wait. Looking forward to it, man. Spring is here, at least so it seems in Quebec. It's nice weather, and next week's supposed to be like plus 13, 14, I think one day plus 16. We'll see what happens, but like a little bit of rain at the end of the week. So I think by next weekend, I think all our snow is pretty much gone. I made my appointment to get my tires changed. I'm getting my tempo taken down in a few weeks. So like it really feels like we're through this fucking winter, which is great. It's been a long one, especially obviously COVID being locked in and all this shit. And we're on the road to WrestleMania, which is going to be super exciting. Dude, it's like 3 weeks. It's like 3 weeks away.
Wait, what's 3 weeks
WrestleMania?
Away?
WrestleMania.
No, it's not.
Yeah, man.
Is it really?
It's like April 10th or some shit. Yeah.
When's Fastlane?
About 3 weeks, I guess. Fastlane is this Sunday, bro.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. They didn't even hype it up very much. They didn't talk about it very much. And all of a sudden, it's just like, whoop, kind of like an afterthought. It is kind of an afterthought, guys.
Fastlane is the worst pay-per-view of the year.
Probably is, yeah.
They should just make the Raw. They should, like, AEW turns AEW Nights into, like, specials.
They'll just rename it.
To do it.
Yeah, they'll just rename it.
Yeah, they should just do that for Fastlane.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, Fast Track to SmackDown. St. Patrick's Day Bash, whatever it was. I'm like, isn't this still Dynamite? But I guess it's all the spirit. But, you know, was it all that green? Because I really don't remember it other than people being in the crowd in green, right?
It was pretty red more than green.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But how are things going in your neck of the woods? How are you staying sane? What's up with you, my friend?
Well, our Lord and Savior, Francois Legault, you know, with the time change says, hey, guys. Curfew, it's not based on statistics. It's based on, I don't know, the way I feel when I get out of bed, and I'll give you another hour and a half of daylight. So, yeah, the restrictions have been changed, and it's a load of fucking crap. If you ask me, you're better off sticking to your guns, Francis, and
I think he's just doing daylight savings time for he's shifting it with daylight savings time, pretty much, no? That's all it is.
Yeah, but if the curfew didn't already make you feel like your freedom was in question, them saying, we're going to adjust it for you, it's so stupid.
I guess they don't want us having daylight still coming into our windows and us being locked in our houses. Like, let's shift it up a bit. That way you're not like, the sun, why can't I leave my house?
It's just crap because, like, if you forget something or you're like, I can go to pick up a case of beer. There's a game on tonight. Or there's, you know, fucking Fastlane.
I like it for that, though, because, like, I have to pick up beer by 7:30. So now I can pick up beer by 8:30. That's a huge difference from, like, having dinner, putting your kid to
thanks,
bed.
Thanks, Francois.
And then you have an – obviously, the government doesn't know what they're doing. But if they completely open things up and then in a couple of months have to close things down again, people are going to be bitching, complaining one way or the other and
but
whatever.
But it's never going to – it's it, – I don't know.
Well, it's going to end eventually. I mean, like, you know, even if it's going to be fall or spring or whatever next year, fully and completely, eventually there's going to be an end game there. So,
well, he said that all Quebecers who want to be vaccinated will be vaccinated by the 24th of June. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
But
yeah.
If all the old people are vaccinated, then what's the, just go.
Well, I think once all the people, old people are vaccinated, because they're still being vaccinated.
Yeah, they're close, though.
Well, exactly. But then we'll see maybe in 4 weeks from now, the curfew might be lifted because of it. Okay, everybody, all the old people we think are, you know, injected with that shit, now we can lift the curfew. I know, it's not a great system, man. I kind of feel it, but...
4 weeks is April, though. It's not June. That's like 20 weeks.
I'm just throwing 4 weeks out as a 4 weeks. I'm just saying once they are all vaccinated, like, I don't know the vaccination plan for the old people.
Just stay in. Just stay out of it.
Yeah,
old people, get the fuck out of here,
I know. You
man.
Ruined it for all of us. If you watch the South Park vaccination special that was on this week, it's hilarious because it's like they're making fun of the vaccine and people are at like a club, like, poof, poof. And they're all like trying to get in past the bouncer, and they're like, I have a condition. Oh, I have this, I have that. And then you see the old people just cut the line with their fingers, and they're like, fuck you, bitches. And then, like, everyone's in their house, all sad, looking outside because they can't leave their homes, and all the old people are like on motorcycles doing wheelies, like they're owning the night. It's pretty fucking funny, man.
Explain to me this, right? We stayed inside for the oldies, they still went out. They're first in line for the vaccines. They're still out. The vaccine doesn't stop COVID from spreading,
right? What do you mean they're
still
out? Who's still out?
Well, old people are still out and about. They're crazy. Now, here's the thing. Like, look, put it this way. If I was allergic to the sun, I wouldn't make everybody stay inside when the sun's out. I just would stay inside when the sun's out.
Well, one person versus millions. I get it, man.
Well, it is, though. It is one person versus millions, if you think about it. If you do the stats, it's like 0.1%. But here, no, I
can't
get
put
it.
Your value in somebody's life and somebody else, no matter how old they are. I understand, though. I do see where you're coming from.
But if they're locked in, right? I'm not saying that they're locked in forever. They should be locked in until the vaccine is out. Why is everybody else out? Because the vaccine doesn't stop the spread, right? It just stops the symptoms.
Right.
It's still gonna. They're still gonna get it. They're still going to fucking get it, and some of them are still going to die. It's so stupid. Anyways, it is what it is.
Well, the vaccine will prevent most of them from dying, but they're going to still...
We'll see.
I think they're stats
There'll be
that
a small percentage.
Show it.
there'll be a small percentage of them that still die if they're vaccinated, and then we'll have our fourth, fifth,
dude,
sixth,
they're gonna
and
die anyways because they're old. Like, I don't know.
I have a feeling
it could be anything that kills them.
I have a feeling that if you died from COVID and you're old, you would have died from a regular flu anyways. That's my outlook on it.
I mean, it takes more of a, like, it's a super flu, right? Can we agree on that?
Maybe.
It's not a regular flu. No other flus make you lose your taste and smell. That's just weird shit. That's weird. That's like,
I know,
voodoo shit.
It mutates a part
That's
of your brain.
That's weird shit, man.
I know. It actually eats a part of your brain.
So it can't be compared to a cold. I see where you're coming from, but it's not the same thing as a regular cold. It's like a super
no,
flu.
No, it's worse. Yeah. It's worse. Yeah. But
it's like getting pneumonia.
Again,
it's like getting pneumonia or something. I don't know. You know, like.
I just mean that, like, if there was a Reaper that came out and only killed people that were born in September, right? Wouldn't the rest of the world that wasn't born in September live their life usually? And then those born in September were trying to figure it out.
Though.
It's the truth. No. If it only affects those that are sick or old, those are the ones that should have fucked off.
Well, we'll see.
I know.
Or we should have vaccinated them all and just let them all die out, and then we could all go out, right?
Well, no. I mean, that's next level. It's taken it up a notch. Not that I disagree. But, no, I'm just fed up with it. Obviously, I don't want anybody to get hurt, but I'm hoping it's the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm just really getting frustrated with being told what to do by the government.
Yeah, for sure.
I like what Texas did. We told you the rules. We told you what is right, what is wrong. The government shouldn't control you. It shouldn't be a mandate. If you don't do it, that's on you. I don't think we should be looking to our government to depict what is morally correct and what isn't. We should be looking at ourselves, but it is what it is.
It is so. What it is. Interesting take. And with June 4th, 24th coming out, I think it's funny Quebec picking it as their Independence Day, right? They're going to be like, yeah, everybody's vaccinated. Oh, no. And they're going to have these like Quebec Day booths where you can go in and get your vaccination. Look,
yeah,
man,
there's like old people lined up in Rigo right now. Like as I drove home, I passed a bunch of old people. And how old people? Sorry, the people that are
higher risk category.
They're all old though. They're walkers.
But
and shit.
Again, I mean, that's a stretch. Let's see what happens on June 24th. Yeah. But look, they were saying like September, fall, Christmas. So like at least they're moving the goalposts up further enough. Even if it's
yeah,
until
good
July,
news, I guess
it is a bit of good news, right? So like at least there's that, and then yeah, hopefully at that point, once we get all vaccinated, they're still gonna be like wear your masks and shit for like the next few months, and then whatever, man. I just want to get out. I want to see my family. I fucking miss them. But
I want to meet your kid, man.
That's exactly it too.
It's fucked up shit,
dude. It's right before her first birthday too, so it's like gonna be a nice treat if I can get vaccinated and then like you know see our family.
What month is she born?
August 6th. Yeah, man.
Oh my god. Yeah, dude. Okay, well no, like as soon as it's lifted I'm coming down because like I can't not see her for her first year of life. It's just too weird.
I know, it's been crazy. Having to share her. I guess this is a really fun part of her life too, but so it's been great for us, but also like I send lots of photos to my sister, my mom, and all that stuff. I try to keep them as included as possible, but it's right around my sister's birthday, my niece's, like, and her birthday, so it's kind of we can all meet, maybe have a barbecue and celebrate some birthdays and make up for
lost
time. So really, really looking forward to that for sure, man. It's been tough, but hopefully soon enough. I don't know. Please.
So what's going on with you? Back at work? Are you back into the fine tune of things?
I am back into the fine tune of things, picking up new requests. I won a project coming in from a pretty big client. So another big title to be jumping on soon. It starts at the end of April. So I have the next month to kind of get prepared, get my staff, get my hardware shipped out to the people working from home and all that crap. So it's good, actually. It's been keeping me busy. And I think with spring, too, it's kind of rejuvenated me. And then outside of that, just taking care of parents. Adulting, getting my winter tires changed. I switched to Sirius XM. I did it. I contacted them and got the rate fixed for the next
six
year.
For 36.
Yeah.
Did you get 6 for 36?
Yeah,
that's good.
So just doing shit, man, and enjoying the spring and playing some games, playing Apex, playing some shit, watching movies. Enjoying life, man, just like everybody else. Trying to take a diet on my toys a little bit because. I did get a few new ones, but I also want to start investing again. So, and pay my debts off a little bit quicker. So,
Bitfarm's up, baby. It's up 10% today.
Yeah, up and down, up and down. Yeah, we'll see.
No, Bitcoin's doing okay. Crypto's doing all right. But I haven't really looked at it much. I've kind of just put it in the back burner. I'm like, I'm just going to let it roll. I'm not going to become obsessed with it. But apart from that, though, the nice weather really makes you realize how much seasonal depression affects us.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, you walk out and you're like, oh, my God, life is so much better.
I'm going for a walk after this podcast with my wife and child. Yeah, it's going to be fucking nice. It's nice to get out. I went out yesterday or the day before just to drive around and run errands and pick up things. And, like, I really enjoy getting out and the
windows
fresh air.
Down.
Even when it's crisp. Yeah. I dropped off my taxes with my accountant yesterday. So I have to drive down the Côte de l'Ouest. And then I come all the way back. And, like, it was just very nice, kind of, like, expressway driving with the window open, nice sun. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there was a little bit of traffic, but it was almost even kind of like a nice rhythm of traffic. Like, yeah, it was good, man. It's good shit. Good shit.
Yeah, I don't mind traffic anymore. Now I'm like, I'm out. I'm not in the house. I'm doing something different. You know, I don't remember the last time I crossed that fucking bridge to the city. I don't remember the last time I was in the city, downtown Montreal. I couldn't tell you.
Dude, I was in your neck of the woods last week, and I came down with my daughter. We want to drive to Toronto next New Year's. So we wanted to see how the baby was going to do if we drive around a bunch. So we had to do some errands. We kept her in the car, drove all the way down to Hudson, and she did really good. So that was good to get out and see family. But I did notice, you know, like the mentalities of COVID in country versus city is a bit different. Like my cousin, my mom, they're all like super paranoid. It seems like it's hitting them really, really hard. It seems like people in the country are really feeling it and mentally and like in their heart. I don't know. Seems like it really affects them. When me, like, I don't know if it's just my lifestyle. Like, I go to Walmart, I go to IGA. If I get up and I want to go to any store right now, I will. I'll just put my mask on. I'll wash my hands. And life's been normal outside of the curfew. But I don't go out that much anyways, right? And I don't have that many friends out here. So, like, I don't mind chilling at, like, 7:30, 8 p.m. at night. Obviously, having the control over you is one thing because you want to have your freedom. Sometimes it sucks that I can't go out and do things as freely, but it's not that different. And it's funny because we're more populated down here. We have more cases going around down here. And then I find in Hudson, for instance, there's like, what, 1, 2, 3 cases ever or something? Yeah. I don't know what it was. And like, they're super fucking paranoid about everything. My mom comes to see me and she's like in full masks and everything and like completely like almost like a hazmat suit. Like, I don't know. But it's like, she's like, can I touch you? Can I touch the baby? My sister's like, I'm only going to come down if I can do this or I can do that. And I'm like, of course you can, you know?
Yeah. No, I think it's like, okay, one of two things. The first being that we don't have as much stimulation as you guys have when you leave the house. You see a little bit more hustle and bustle, so it seems a little bit more ordinary. Whereas in the country, you walk out and it's like fucking ghost towns everywhere. And then secondly, it's more frustrating because there are no cases here.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're in the same lockdown that you are, so you're constantly like mad. And it's so easy to get caught here if you're out of the house. So if you're out of the house doing something that is questionably illegal, like bringing your kids to the park or walking outside your house during curfew, it's scary because you're the only one out. And if a cop sees you, you're fucked.
Yeah, it's world
so
different.
It's annoying like
things
that.
Look very normal here, and they are normal outside of the curfew, which is whack.
No, we go to stores. Like if you go to Vaudreuil, it's fine. Like I walk into Walmart.
Though.
I miss bars and restaurants, meeting up, what's up, how's it going, talking to a server that you don't know, small talk, I miss it.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll get there. It's only been, it's funny, this 1 year seems like it's been like 5 years, to tell you the truth, man.
It's a long one, man. When I started hearing it was a 1 year anniversary, and in a sense it felt like it was forever, but at the same time it felt like it was just yesterday. But it's so funny because, like, COVID was fun at first. It was cool. It was like this little camp out. We're all in this together. Just 2 weeks, guys. We'll flatten the curb. And, you know, people are sharing memes and, you know, top 10 lists on their Facebook. Now it's just like everybody's paranoid of the government. Everybody thinks everything's a conspiracy. Everything's divided. It's fucking
super
bullshit.
Divided. Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah, but you know, we'll see the end of the light. Hey, man! Before we get into some wrestling, I picked up a few more toys.
You want to see? What do you got? What do you got?
All right.
Oh God!
So
every week, man.
Yeah, I ended up getting this off a guy in Toronto. I think Toronto or New Brunswick. Not exactly sure, but he painted a custom Asuka figure. Kabuki Warriors.
Oh, my God. So what, he took a regular figure and painted more shit onto it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. People do this, man. Like, this one's okay quality, but, like,
why don't you do that?
Well, you have to get extras because you have to be willing to potentially ruin it if you fuck up. But we'll see. I'm not counting it out. But this is really cool because
I could totally see you with one of those like eye things that like has the spectacle that comes down so you see closer.
I let somebody else do all the work. But yeah, pretty cool. There's not many Oscars that come out, and having her in her kabuki colors is pretty dope. I showed you guys last week my Deadeye Duck, but I actually got Bucky now to go with it. So
oh, so you have Bucky here now.
I have him now, yeah, which is pretty dope.
Do you ever play with them?
No, I don't. I just play them. See how quickly I answered that? No, I don't.
Then you do. You never, like, I tried the other day because, like, I remember, like, having action figures and stuff when I was a kid. And, like, I tried to recreate talking and stuff with them. And I was like, why the fuck do we enjoy this?
I didn't have a lot of friends in my area. And had a big imagination. I would play.
I would play like crazy with them.
Yeah.
But now, if you try and do it, you're like,
I know. I picked up Casey Jones too, which is pretty dope.
Oh, sick. Yeah, pretty sick. That thing does look like a cartoon.
Yeah, there's different lines. There's a line that looks like the movies.
So the realistic ones and then the cartoon versions?
Yeah, then there's like the realistic one. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so there's different lines. So like I'm kind of going on three different lines right now, like turtle lines. So yeah, pretty cool. Pretty fun.
Casey Jones is from the Ninja Turtles?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that. I don't remember that. That's it? That's all you got?
I think that's all I picked up this past
Okay. Quiet week, eh? With the Amazon
Dude,
deliveries?
I'm trying to take a diet. Like I said, I'm trying to get my daughter's RESP done because I want to get that done and just not to think about it. But, dude, I put it in VGrow. She's already made, like I think, like $90 in 1 month. And on Enbridge, nice. All I did was deposit enough to get my drip, and like I made $95 in 1 month, and like this is just me having planted the seed too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's a good start. So I want to get that done, and then I'm gonna take my. I've actually gone in the process. I signed off with my bank to move my RSP into Questrade. So right now it's in the middle of being moved over. They'll even pay the fees and shit, so it's good. So I can take that money in kind and actually like see directly what it's. Invested in Questrade, so that way I can have more visibility. They give you the option to liquidate it before you transfer it, and it's just going to be cash. But I want to have the freedom to do that myself if I want to after the fact and see what it's invested into. And I think I made like $500 this past year alone. So like if I did, then it's maybe not a bad investment where it's tied to right now anyways. So I'm going to have that in there and then going to be taking my shares out from my company, which I have a bunch that I found out that I have. I'm going to be putting that in like May when we're at kind of peak season where it's kind of at a good spot. And then put that right into my RRSP and then put that into VGrow, I think, as well, too, because that's supposed to be one of the best ETFs for growth for RRSPs and RESPs. So, and then we'll see something. If I might have some extra money to do some other stuff, we'll see.
Fucking Ted DiBiase over here.
Yeah, for sure, man. I was going to put it in TD Bank because any major bank, especially TD, is like such a big, massive growth. And like it's not going to be around for a long time. If you look at the way it's growing, you get drip, but you also get capital gains because it's growing so much. But you need to put like 10 grand in it to get that drip. And I'm like, shit, well, I can pull my shares and put it into my RSP and then buy that enough shares of TD to have that drip. The problem with that is I don't want to pay taxes when I retire and all that capital gain. So I want to try to get my bank investment or my bank drip going in my tax-free savings account like Enbridge.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Enbridge, I'm going to be making money. Slow capital gain, very slow, but it's all about that drip. So getting those free shares and just snowballing. So when I do retire, all that money I made, no taxes. So yeah, I want to set that up in my TFSA a little bit before I start doing those little fun, risky investments and stuff. But, you know, I do have crypto and a few other things that are volatile, but not saying I'm going to ignore those. I just want to focus on planting those, like, solid seeds.
Well, you seem to know what the fuck you're doing.
I did a lot of reading and videos and stuff. But there's a foolproof way that if you have enough cash and you put it into this and you put it into that, like, and you're good. You just need to have that initial amount to get that drip going and putting into smart things that are going to be stable and aren't going to go anywhere in the next 20 years. And you have these energy companies like Enbridge and TD Bank and even Manulife. And there's a few other ones as well, too. There's one in real estate, a little bit more riskier because we saw with COVID, you know, fucking a bit crazy. So I'm kind of a little bit hesitant on that. But they give dividends out every month because they collect rent every month. So they give a portion back to you every month. So like if you get the drip, it just like it grows massively. But we'll see. One thing at a time.
All about that drip. All right, let's take our first break. Excuse me. When we come back, we're going to talk about some wrestling. We'll take another break. And then we have our predictions for Fastlane. So we'll be right back on episode 191, baby. 191.
The following announcement has been paid for by Boo to the Face. What's up, Talkamaniacs? Do you enjoy quality wrestling talk? Raw, AEW, NXT, SmackDown, and pay-per-view prediction and review shows mixed with a lot of whiskey and a whole lot of profanity? Are you tired of the smarky podcast and you just want to hear fans talk about wrestling that don't want to take it too seriously? Then come find us at Boo to the Face on Spreaker, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. We're Santana Garrett's favorite podcast. That's Boo to the Face with the number 2, as in
What up? Welcome back. Episode 191, 9 episodes away from the big 200. I don't know what we have in store for that, but we're here to talk wrestling. Let's get it done. Dez, bring us up to speed with the week, baby.
All right. So I got some notes heading into this week. There's not that many. I'm also bearing in mind we have the Fastlane predictions ahead of us. So
yeah.
Let's jump into some of the hot topics here. A lot of cool things happening. Let's talk about one of the freshest items on the table, on the docket. We have AEW, St. Patrick's Day Slam. They did a lights out main event. I think the second time they've done this, I don't know. I think they did it with Omega and Moxley early on. But Britt Baker, Thunder Rosa, main event, AEW, and a bloodbath. A really grueling physical matchup. Dude, I didn't go over to NXT. This one caught me. I remember I talk about
how
I go back and
That's
forth,
pretty good.
Right? But yes, dude, Britt Baker's fantastic. I think she's so super solid. Like, she is legit and she keeps proving it. And I have no doubt she's going to be the one taking Sheeta's title. She should. She is fantastic. So yeah, I had nothing but good things to say about that match. Only thing is, I go online afterwards, right, and I see people tweeting out saying it's the best match of all time. It's the best match of this year. It's the greatest women's match in the past decade, right? And these are all obviously people who are, you know, AEW marks, and they're really excited because their women put on a hell of a main event, and they did. And the whole point isn't to discredit it, but you all know how me. I'm Salty Mike, right? But
Salty Dez, damn it.
Breaking kayfabe. Look, fucking fantastic. But I watched it. I had to watch it back today because I sat back and I'm kind of like, hold on, hello. See, I kind of sat back and I was like, fuck, hold on. Can you timestamp?
Yeah.
I'm going to switch my
headphones. Those fucking, those Bluetooth headsets, man. I'm telling you right now, they're trash. They're trash. Bluetooth headsets are trash. Let's get Dez back on here. Dez, can you hear us? For those of you who are listening, the Bluetooth headset, Apple iPod, iPods, overrated, bro. Good old-fashioned plugged-in fucking headset is the way to go.
All right, cool, there we go.
There we go.
Time-stamped?
Yeah, sure.
Don't. I don't even like the way I started all that shit off anyway, so.
Oh, well. I ain't time-stamping fuck all.
The fuck?
Oh, no. Now he's lost this one.
Well, this headphone only one side works.
It's one of those.
Yeah, I gotta get a new headset.
All right, so you were saying you rewatched it. What's salty about it?
I know I'm totally gonna come off across like I'm being a dick, but I rewatched this match, and it was a fantastic match. 4.5 stars, 100%. I'll give it. First half, it was kind of clunky. It was a slow.
It was clunky pretty much the whole way through, but that's not what the match was about, right? I mean, I get it. I was watching, and I was like, if there was no blood in it, it wouldn't have been that good.
See, this is the thing. This is what I was going to ask you. And, like, I didn't get off on the right foot talking about this. My headphones cutting out didn't help. My big question is, and I don't want to discredit it at all, but I remember we had this conversation about Britt Baker breaking her nose earlier. People were really hyped about that match, which was great with Sheeta. But you would say, you know, if she wasn't bleeding, you know, would it have been as good? You know, she has all those T-shirts. She has those pictures, those memes now. Would it be as good? And I guess what I was trying to say with this was, if you watch the first half of the match, you know, a little bit, it was good, a little bit clunky. But I find as soon as they did the suplex onto the chair spot, that's where things changed. Yeah. Like when they really started pulling out weapons and doing these spots, which, mind you, a lot of it wasn't even wrestling anyway. So if you're going to say this is the best wrestling match, say, you know, I mean, come on. Was it?
Yeah, no shit.
But
it wasn't a wrestling match.
But dude, really, really, really lethal. Like, I think even saw Thunder Rosa pulled the fucking. I saw her with the blade. So, like,
you saw her with the blade?
Her blade on the steps holding.
I didn't notice.
So yeah.
Well, the thing was is when okay, so you texted me right before we got on. Right now to record, you said you have to watch this match, watch the whole thing, don't worry, it's good and it's not long. So I went to check it out. I watched even the entrances, so I was like, all right, this is cool. This is my first Thunder Rosa match of all time that I've ever watched. I agree, it was a little bit clunky at first. The crowd work was kind of shit, and then she got curb stomped on the stairs, and I was like, okay, that was a pretty cool little spot. And then Rosa's bleeding. So I was like, wow, we've talked about this so much on the podcast where we want women to blade, right? So it wasn't that much blood, and I thought that was really cool, and I thought that's what you wanted me to watch. Then we get the spot in the corner where she takes the ladder to the face. Britt Baker sliced the fuck out of herself, man. Yeah. That was a bloody fucking mess.
Even her eyeball.
Even the ref. Even her eyes. I can only imagine what it's like to have blood in your eyes with makeup on top of it and the long hair. And the ref seemed to have a hard time, you know, making sure that she was all right, checking the cut. And then even Reba put her jacket out, like,
yeah,
you know, rub your fucking
eye
eyes.
There. Yeah, for sure.
There was some clunk to it.
Well, there was no sell. She hit it with the crutch right in the beginning, and Thunder Rosa no-sold it. Like, there's some no-selling from Thunder in there, I'm telling you. And, like, when she rolled into the chair in the crowd, it was kind of, I don't know. And then she tried to do the suplex in the corner with the chair and missed the chair completely. At one point. So, like, again, I know I'm going to ask, boo me all you want. The only reason I'm picking at this is because I go on and I'm seeing people say this is the best match of the year, best women's match. Even stuff like leaving WWE's NXT women's division in the dust. It's like, dude, did you watch Dusty Classic?
In the dust.
Did you watch the Dusty Classic, the finals? What about Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Gonzalez? What about Io versus Ripley? We had Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens fucking tore the house down a couple times, too. So it's like,
bro,
That's all I'm saying. That's why I had to watch it back, because I was like, really? Like, I know it was a great moment, but like, fuck, when they do something right, AW likes to masturbate, man, or at least the fans do, which I guess is good. But
it's definitely a monumental match.
Yeah, for sure.
Having that type of a bloodbath between two women, the tax especially, was a nice touch at the end.
Well, I wanted to ask you, and this is kind of nice, I didn't finish my thought earlier, was if Britt Baker wouldn't have bled, and if the tacks were not in this match, those two items alone, which I know are items in the match, but if those were not in the match alone, would it have been as epic of a battle as a match?
It would have been as bad as Moxley versus, what's his name?
Omega.
Moxley and Omega in the explosion match, it would have been as bad as that. This was better.
It would have been a good
match,
but like...
Not even.
I'm telling you, go back and watch it if you guys haven't before. And I'm not trying to, whatever, fuck y'all. Go back and watch it. As soon as that chair spot hits in the middle of the ring, they start picking up the pace, really laying it out there. But if you remove the blood, you remove the thumbtacks, which were both fucking amazing elements, Britt Baker fucking is she's top. Like, she's fucking awesome. Like, she is awesome. Put that belt on her, strap her to the moon. Her promos, her in-ring work, the ability that she can kind of be diverse in the ring. She can wrestle hardcore and bring it, man. Like, she's fucking legit. And they have a lot to be proud about. It's just this whole match of the year thing. Like, relax, you know? Whoa.
Well, don't let the fans ruin
what the match was to you. I shouldn't pop on social media, man. It's just fucking people on there.
I went on, and like, the cool thing about the match was that you have amazing graphics from it. There was a wicked behind the scenes video of Tony Khan talking to Britney after, and then there was Thunder Rosa getting the standing ovation when she walked back to the gorilla position. Sheeta greeted her, hugged her. Now, I think that Britt Baker is a future champion, and she's going to be a champion for a long time, but I still think give it to Thunder Rosa first. Let Britt Baker be the fucking beltless heel until we just can't stand her to be a heel anymore, have her turn face and win that championship. And then later on down the line, let her have another run as a heel. But this Britt Baker, the best thing for her, in my opinion, is not to get that title. Have her always chasing and keep having her in these types of matches. I mean, yo, when she broke her nose, it was sick. People were comparing it to Becky Lynch. Now she has all these graphics of her, quite possibly the most bloodiest match of mainstream wrestling for a woman. I know we have the Crimson Face by, what's her face? the girl in NXT.
Oh, Mia Yim.
Who got, no, the girl who got the super kick with the tax.
Oh, Candice LeRae. I was talking about Mia Yim. She was in like a ladder match. Remember, she got busted open really bad on like Raw or SmackDown. She fought somebody, and Mia Yim got her face busted open in a ladder
match. But it was a real cut, right?
Oh, yeah. It was nasty.
Okay, yeah.
And then Joey Mercury. Remember when Joey Mercury?
Yes. But that's different. Yeah. That's like, even Becky Lynch's is different. That was real. This is a kayfabe
blood work. Fair enough.
And that's why it's very cool and a more monumental thing for the women's division. Now, did AEW's women's division take a big leap up? Yeah, of course it did. Did it surpass and leave NXT women's division in the dust? Not even fucking close, bro. Not even fucking close, right? Everybody, a monkey could write a book by accident. So,
well, I won't not give them credit either, but like,
I'm not giving them credit. I'm just saying that I agree with you. The fans jumping all over this. Relax, guys. Dave Meltzer probably creamed his pants, sure, though.
There wasn't much wrestling involved. So to say it was the best wrestling match, then I'm getting into semantics, right? So, you know.
It was entertaining.
It was fucking great. I loved it. The fact that I went on social media, and I don't normally do that. I give my respect to Britt Baker. She looked better than Thunder Rosa in that match, in my opinion. I love Thunder Rosa, but I just thought Britt looked so fucking good. That finish, too, to the table looked nasty. And then she's lying there with blood on her face. Like, fucking great. Great fucking main event. Great match for the women. Yeah. So.
It was very good.
I'm not trying to shit on anybody.
No. I don't think we are shitting anybody.
I think I'm getting, you know, mixed up with the marks out there on for AEW that are like, you know, it's the best match of this year. And, dude, like, there's been a lot of really good matches. And, again, take it to blood. Take the thumbtacks. Would it have been as great?
No, it wouldn't have been. Even Tony Khan, after saying like, "Oh, it was the greatest event we put on this year," all right, relax, Tony. Take a deep breath, and chill the fuck out. Look, I got to make a phone call, so we're gonna take another quick break now before we get into more wrestling, and we'll come back right after this.
Do you love wrestling?
Yeah!
Do you want to get an insight into professional wrestling from a lifelong fan's perspective? Kick back, enjoy a whiskey with Mike Farrell on the Chaos Theory Podcast every Monday via Spreaker, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcast fix. Follow Chaos Theory on Twitter at @Chaos_TheoryPod or online at FullPressCoverage.com for more info.
It's the crew of the year that you're loving to hate. If you fucking with the team, you catch a boot to the face. Rebound from the boot, I hit the Irish whip. Don't be mad, cause we know your podcast ain't shit. Stop hating, motherfucker, you know he the man. RJ gon' hit you with that ringside rant. And them two hard hitters repping Montreal. Godfathers of the crew, making sure we ball. If you still wanna hate, it's no saving ya. You might get beat down on Talk of Mania. Listen to the whole team, the cross body of work. It'll make you realize that you should have been first. And me, I cause chaos everywhere that I go. 80 proof and no less got me ready to throw. Don't step to the mic unless you want that smoke. FPC, the whole team is like a knife to your throat. Yeah.
All right, guys. Episode 191. Back to the wrestling talk. Sorry about that extra break. We're recording on work time here.
Dude, you get me fired.
No, just me, not you, dude. I'm working late today.
Come on. Don't lie.
All right. So AEW, Britt Baker, Thunder Rosa, match of the year, right?
Match of the century. Yeah. No, it was fucking fantastic. Both women deserve
it. It was good. That was entertaining. Balls.
Awesome. I don't want to come off as a bitter motherfucker.
No, I don't think you're.
It's just, come on, man. Come on, guys.
Yeah. Chill down. Chill down on the tweets, boys.
All right. What else we got? Okay, so now there's Kenny Omega is going to be facing off against Rich Swann at Impact in April. Title versus title.
What?
Yeah, title versus title. So the AEW Championship against the Impact World Heavyweight title. Remember Rich Swann, the guy who's dancing, Cruiserweight, 205 Live, he beat his wife, got released, and got signed to Impact? Right.
Now he's a champion.
Now he's a champion. So yeah, they're going to be facing off. And dude, Omega's like totally going to win, right? Still Omega's going to have both straps on AEW. I'm pretty sure that's it. We'll help you out, Impact. We're going to do co-branding. Hey, it's going to help you guys if we have him walking around with the title. And, you know, now it's time to collect. We want that belt on our TV. We can say we're the number one company. You know, puts us on the map. I don't know, man. But I think...
He's gonna have to relinquish that title if you think about it. If he goes champ in two different promotions, he can't lose that Impact title and still be a credible AEW champion, if you ask me. It's kind
of
silly.
I'll probably hold on to the Impact title for short term just to have that status of double promotion champion, which I guess would be, I guess, historic, if you want to say so.
Oh, yeah. Historic as fuck. But what happens when you go into there and you lose that title and then you go back to AEW as the champion? Like,
yeah, I think you put too much thought behind it. Yes, that's what you do.
No, but I'm just saying if I was the facing Omega in a feud in AEW and he went off to the other promotion, which is quote unquote beneath AEW, lost that championship, I'd be shit talking the fuck out of him, man.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. I thought it was weird. I know there was talks about like even initially unifying the titles, which would be scary. That scared me because it's like, well, what does that mean?
I mean, that's unifying the company.
Yeah, that's scary. That'd be scary. I don't want that happening. And I don't think so because I think there was talks about it. Now it's quite clear it's title versus title. So fingers crossed. But come on, Swan beating Omega, I don't think so. Unless there's some DQ funny business. Maybe Christian Cage comes out and causes some ruckus or something. That possibly could be it. And then he just doesn't win and he goes on to face. Because you remember Christian, right? Was like an Impact. So it actually could play into that.
Yeah, it could. Christian, I don't know. I saw a bunch of graphics of what if Christian was the champion of AEW and Edge was the Universal Champion, and this is the big plan of pro wrestling to have them both face off against each other at WrestleMania 37 or whatever the fuck the next WrestleMania is.
They would have picked different people.
I was gonna say it ain't gonna be Christian, man. Yeah. It ain't gonna be Christian.
Yeah, no. Roman Reigns versus Kenny Omega. Now, that'd be fucking dope, man. That'd be cool.
That would be dope.
Would be pretty cool. WrestleMania. Dude, I would love cross. That's one thing AEW nails, and I love that they do. They're open about other promotions and giving each other exposure. Like, it's fucking good. They're not insecure. Or, you know, at the same time, WWE's got to run a business, right? So I kind of, once a year, you know? Once a year, an event where there's like a few matches or something like that where you can kind of cross promote or something. I don't know. I guess WWE doesn't want to give any exposure to those other companies, which makes sense. But would be cool if they could do something like that, man.
If they just made like one pay-per-view, like a one-off, just this one time where it was a huge pay-per-view event, like worldwide fucking booked, get UFC fans into it, like put Brock Lesnar in there and have like Brock Lesnar fight somebody from AEW. I mean, it'd be sick, man. Yeah.
All right. Also on AEW, we have the group. We know the name now. MJF comes out with Tully Blanchard, FTR, and Sean Spears. And I don't think I'm missing anybody. Hopefully not.
Warlord.
Yeah. And they're called. They are the Pinnacle.
It's okay.
Yeah. Tully gave a good promo where he's like, you know, when you work hard, you want to get to where we are the Pinnacle. And he did a good promo building up the name, because when I first read it, I was like, that sounds silly. You know, they should have done like, obviously you don't want them to do the Four Horsemen again, because I don't want Sean Spears in that. But MJF comes out, cuts a promo, rips Jericho's hairline, makes fun of Jericho's, his separation in his tits. He makes fun of the gap in his chest. Like, you know, I'm sure.
Who did this?
What's that?
Who made fun of him?
MJF made fun of Jericho's chest. Okay. And then he goes on to compliment his team, compliment Sean Spears, you know, so calling him the chairman again. So,
oh, I like that.
Who knows? Maybe we'll go back to more chair shots. Even if it's on the back, that's fine. It could work. But it looks like they're trying to revive Sean Spears a little bit. So that's good to see. But yeah, that was it. Jericho wasn't around. The Inner Circle wasn't around. I guess they're selling the beatdown. But I'm guessing we're going to be getting the Inner Circle versus the Pinnacle, and then Jericho versus MJF.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and here we are. Yeah, MJF has not taken over the Inner Circle. He's created his own faction. Now, you know, it's cool. I guess I'm looking forward to where this leads. I guess the promos between Jericho and MJF are going to be great. I was hoping, though. I think I was hoping that MJF took over the Inner Circle and then you know, beat down Jericho, like the birthday bash style, a French Festival of Friendship style. And yeah. then he gets kicked out, and then eventually he comes back like a year later, not a year later, 6 months later, takes some time off, and then he comes back with Sammy Guevara and like Les Sex Gods come back to fucking try to beat the shit out of them or something. But I don't know how it's going to work now, but I'm sure it'll be entertaining nonetheless.
I think a name better than the Pinnacle would have been calling themselves the Outer Square.
Dude, they look like Evolution. They come out of a jet and suits into a limo. Like, I know that's very traditional for, you know, if you're successful, yeah, but like, I was like with Wardlow there and like Tully, the old dudes, like, Evolution is a mystery.
I was getting that feel, man.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And you got the FTR in there in suits too. But like, great team, great combo. And I think FTR and MJF could work well together. So like, we'll see. Excited, good shit.
Kudos to AEW though for going the route of decent sized factions. At least now we have another faction. But they're both bad guys, right? So is Inner Circle taking a face turn?
Yeah, they're going to take a face turn for sure. Yeah, definitely okay. Looks like it.
I'm excited to see Jericho face in AEW. I want to see what he can do with it. You know, the man of reinvention.
He'll just
the
be
man
funny.
Of
he's
going to
be fucking funny. I think so. I think also he's looking into becoming a full-time commentator, so he might slow down his in-ring action, or maybe not. We'll see. But yeah. I noticed this past week there's a backstage interview with Young Bucks, and Don Callis showed up and presented the Young Bucks with a t-shirt, and the t-shirt said something along the lines of "no leg slapping allowed" with like a line through it, right? So thought that was pretty stupid. Like,
you know, they made a big deal about the way that like WWE has backstage wrestlers watching TV monitors, and then during that Britt Baker match they had Sheeta doing the exact same thing.
I know,
like, I like it because it's always a fun little jab, and I do kind of like pop a bit when I see it or hear about it. I'm like, but at the end of the day, like, it's not that funny right now. That's not that
funny.
You know
what?
I like it more like live.
You know what kind
of
bothered me most about this is because I feel like the Young Bucks are the ones who ruin leg slapping.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, it's ridiculous. Like, nobody sells a super kick anymore. They get kicked like a million times. They slap, 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 slap. I find, like, there's an art to it, right? Like, I think they did an interview with Shawn Michaels lately and Drew McIntyre, and they both kind of shared similar outlooks. It's like, okay, well, if it's, you know, times change, and if that's it, that's fine. Michael said, you know, I was obviously guilty of doing it from time to time, but the thing about Michaels was he always hit it very well, so it was very hard to kind of see them do it. And a lot of superstars can do it with, like, you know, you can't really tell. Even with the Claymore, he runs, he hits his thigh, but when he's flying through the air, you don't really see it, so yeah, it's kind of like it works. When the Young Bucks are doing it, they're kicking left and right. You can see it clear as day, them slapping their leg. It's silly. So in a sense, they kind of ruined it. So what are the Usos going to do now, right? Because that was a huge part of their arsenal. I don't know. I just think it's kind of silly for them to take the shot in general, especially since they probably are one of the ones that helped ruin it to begin with.
I know super kicks are like overused, but there is a difference between the super kick and Sweet Chin Music. Not so much like, you know, the lead up into it where he's tuning the band. It's just
getting it
Shawn
in at
Michaels
that perfect
was,
moment
it, that and it was just he was so good at it that it's like watching somebody else put the sharpshooter on, or even Kevin Owens using the stunner. It's still not the Stone Cold stunner. Like, even cutters, it's still not the DDP cutter. Like, it's just not as good. But I noticed during the Britt Baker match too, she landed a couple of them, and they called it something other than a super kick. I forget what it was.
Standing
but
side
they use
kick
another
or
term.
A swift kick, or I don't know.
A thrust kick. I think they said it was a thrust kick. And if they switch to thrust kick, I feel like it's not as bad if they're throwing them as often as they are, because it is a thrust kick, because most people use it when it's like a kneeled opponent or they're using it to their sternum because they can't reach the
face.
Or you're
trying to get them to bend over or whatever, you know, set them up for something else. Yeah.
The super kick was Shawn Michaels' Sweet Chin Music was totally different from the run-of-the-mill super kick today.
But it's funny you talk about cutters, though, too, because, like, dude, like, I feel like, I don't know if it's AEW trying to have people use WWE finishers as regular moves just to kind of water them down. Because, like, I'm seeing cutters, people use that as regular moves, like, two or three times during a match. Canadian Destroyers as well, too. Like, that is ruined. It used to be a devastating move back in Impact, right, when Christopher Daniels used to do it, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't even
And then know. Now it's just like, I saw this past week, we have Cody Rhodes taking on Penta, And obviously Cody Rhodes ends up winning the match, but he does a Canadian Destroyer, then a Cutter, and then the guy kicks out. It's like, well, I mean, whatever. I just find they're diluting moves a lot. And then the stomp too, right? Like, they stomp Thunder Rosa's head. And like, we saw it like a few times throughout the night, last night on Dynamite alone. So I feel like sometimes they'll do little moves as regular moves to make it seem like they're not as, you know, effective or not as big of a deal. It's almost like taking another little jab.
Well, like
the stomp,
because I watched, okay, but because I watched the Elite in New Japan and watched them in Ring of Honor, and then also caught like all the stuff they were doing online when I was really into following them, it seems like the indies it almost seems like actually WWE took regular moves from the indies and made them finishers, because they are the ones that are like, you have to be more careful with your moveset in WWE than you do in the indies. So the stomp was probably a regular used move on the indie scene, and then Seth was like, I'm going to use that move as a finisher. It's a little bit out of our repertoire. So in WWE, it's special. But I know what you mean. Like, the Canadian Destroyer.
Everybody does it, and everybody kicks out, and it's like, why are we even doing it anymore? You know, you never win with it. Like, it's just for show. You know, all the old people want to do it too. Dustin Rhodes is like, look at me, I'm hip, I can do one. You got Ricky Morton doing one from the fucking, like, it's crazy, yeah, so.
It's a stupid move, really. And, like, yeah, it used to be really cool. I remember when somebody did it off a ladder.
It's cool with them right? Like, I think Penta did one recently. Was it to Cody that was up their match? I don't know, onto a ladder. Remember. Yeah, it was Cody took one during that ladder match. Like, that was fucking crazy.
It's always cool.
Yeah, but they do it every week. At least twice on a Dynamite. Twice. And
well, hey, they're trying to deliver the greatest cutting edge
wrestling
of all time.
WWE is guilty for doing all kinds of shit like that too, you know, don't get me wrong. You know, I know I've been harping on AW a lot tonight, but like
Sling Blade.
Yeah, for sure, man. I feel like I've been harping on AW a lot. We haven't talked too much about WWE. We're gonna get to that now, I guess. But I love AW, love the programming, and I love the wrestling. I'm really a big fan of theirs, so you know.
You don't have to throw
those
asterisks,
but I do.
Everybody
like
knows that that's what we do. We pull shit apart here.
Okay.
Fuck it.
WWE?
Yeah.
Cool. All right, guys. So Fastlane is the fast track to WrestleMania. It has been made official. We are getting a Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley for the WWE title. Two behemoths going to battle.
Yep.
It's pretty cool. If you guys know their history and impact, the matches they've had, it's going to be a really big slugfest, like two giants going at it. Now, my question here is, we have Drew McIntyre facing Sheamus at Fastlane. Why didn't they just make a little bit more excitement for this Road to WrestleMania by making this a number one contender match? Because Sheamus has been around. He's been in this title picture, taking on Drew. Now him being there, losing, it just doesn't make sense. They could have this match alone be like Sheamus' last shot. And if Drew does, we know Drew's going to win, but at least add that stipulation, number one contender, right? So it would have made more sense, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it would have made more sense, but everybody would have been like, obviously, Drew McIntyre is going to win this. You know, what's the point of having the match? So, you know, I get it, but...
Who do you think goes over in that match, in the match at WrestleMania?
It's a good question, man. It's a good question because it's like, if there's people there, I don't think that... I think either way, it's good. Either way, it's good. It's kind of a win-win for the fans. If Bobby Lashley wins, I think it's big. And I think if Drew McIntyre wins, is big too. I don't know who goes over. I'm gonna stick with Drew McIntyre. I think he still has that time to be a champion.
I think that's what they're giving back to him. And I'm with a lot of people that are like, you know, he got WrestleMania last year just because the fans weren't there. Don't set it up for him to just get that fan reaction. I get it. I totally get it. And I think Bobby Lashley's been fucking great this year. He's been good for a long time, but he's really, really kind of broken out this year once given the opportunity. And he deserves that title, and a lot of people are really excited for him. But I want to say, just be careful, because I'm pretty sure the WWE plans to book this to give Drew McIntyre his WrestleMania win, and they see giving Lashley the title leading up to it and being that guy as like, hey, we didn't need to do that for this guy, but we gave it to him, and we thought he was the right guy to set Drew up to have that epic match and to have Drew win the title back. Now, the one thing is WWE can change their mind. We know that. We've seen the fans get behind certain people, call audibles. You know, Daniel Bryan being inserted into WrestleMania and Kofi Mania. You know, that was huge pushed by the fans in the WWE universe. So if you guys make your voices heard. That the fan base, I don't know if they're going to be able to change it directly on the fly at WrestleMania when the fans are there. But they could change their mind with Bobby Lashley because he could be a good champion. He could be a champion that's really fucking... he's the real deal, man. Like, he slaughters people, right? Like, The Miz was a WWE champion, and he treated him like a fucking Sunday Night Heat jobber, you know? So, they're not pulling the punches with him. So, it's going to be a fucking great match between the two of those guys, but I feel like the whole thing is, like, Drew, you worked really fucking hard throughout this Thunderdome shit, COVID. He made the WWE title work and relevant, I feel. I thought he looked like a WWE champion. He held it well. He had great programs. The great program he had with Randy Orton and others. So I feel like this is, they're going to go, they're not going to have him, they're going to give him this moment. I know that's not the popular decision, but that's how I feel like it's going to end up being.
I mean, if you think about it, right, if they're going to give a moment in WrestleMania, retaining is not so much a moment. This storyline between the two hasn't been long enough for Bobby Lashley to be Drew McIntyre and retain for that to really be a moment. So I look at it like if Bobby Lashley was going into this and Drew was the champion, I would pick Bobby Lashley going over to Mania and gain that fan reaction. Yeah. But it's the opposite, so I have to think that, hey, man, they're going to have a big title change in Mania. It's gonna be the.
You could even have Lashley win it the next night or the next pay per view, and then he's a 2-time champion and like whatever, get over it. And then you know what? This is probably it for Drew McIntyre in terms of like main event status WrestleMania. So like he gets this, he wins his title, and then like he'll be involved in some big matches. But like you know, they have a tendency of cycling and going to the next. You know, so we'll see. Future Hall of Famer though for sure, McIntyre, but.
If McIntyre is a future Hall of Famer, then this can't be his one big
push. Maybe not. But he,
because this is not enough to be a Hall of Famer. It's not. I mean, really. I mean, the first stint of his career was a failure.
Well, I imagine he's going to be around for quite some time, at least, I would hope.
I feel like you need to have a couple WWE title runs in you or have sold, like, unless you were in the Golden Era, because that was, like, pretty much everybody from the Golden Era goes in the Hall of Fame. Let's be honest. Most of the people that had... Even most of the Raw Attitude Era are going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. But now you have to be a multiple-time champion.
Fair enough. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Again, you know, I'm saying future Hall of Famer. So, like, in my mind, I'm not assuming he's ending his career after this year's WrestleMania. I'm just saying, like, okay. What I mean is take a break next year. Don't put him in the main event because we just had 2 years of him in the main event, you know?
Okay.
Take a break from him. That's for sure. We need to see some other people. You know, we got Rollins and Seth Rollins and Cesaro feuding. I'm really looking forward to this one at WrestleMania because, like, I really feel like this is going to be Cesaro winning at WrestleMania. And it'll severely let me down if he loses against Seth Rollins.
I agree.
I think Seth Rollins putting him over is, like, such a big thing. Seth's going out there tweeting, like, Vince McMahon was right when he said things about you. Like, you know, you aren't worth it, blah, 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 blah. So I really hope Cesaro gets that big win. It would do huge for him. They might not end up leading him elsewhere after this, though I hope they would, but at least having a big win against Seth Rollins, former champion, if it's clean, that's huge for him, and I think he deserves it. But I also could see the WWE just having Seth Rollins win and being like,
oh, man.
He's lost at the last, what, one or two WrestleManias or something? So it's like, yeah,
Seth Rollins.
It was just last year, so the year before that, he won that belt, right? So
heel Seth Rollins could lose at every WrestleMania, and it's fine.
For sure.
It doesn't
hurt.
Doesn't hurt him at all. So yeah, having Claudio go over, I'm using his real name, having Cesaro going over on Seth, if the package is well and it's just a straight up fight, fucking right, man. Cesaro going over,
he's gonna do a swing that lasts like super long, and then like Rollins is like one of the best people to have in it because he's just like wah, you know, he's like always has that little scratch. He always has like a Jericho-y voice, you know, sometimes when he screams.
Very good, yeah.
But yeah, talking about WrestleMania, tickets are now on sale. So guys, if you want to get your tickets, go out there and get them. Already see some people who've got them. Scott, he's going to WrestleMania, I saw. And dude, he is on WWE Stump the Bump. He is going to the finals, guys. So he was on Trivamania, former Trivamania champion. And he'll actually be on Trivamania again this weekend. So that's going to be exciting, guys. So check that out. He'll be trying to take back that strap off Chris Cass. But yeah, he is going to WrestleMania. There's a few other people who we talk with and shit who are jumping on the wagon or thinking about going. But it's cool to see that kind of vibe coming back, people kind of making plans to meet up and shit. So that's really cool to see. Even though I won't be a part of it, it makes me excited for when I'm able to go out there. Maybe next year. Who knows? We'll see.
Should we put in the fix so that Gata has the title, so that when he goes on Stump the Bump for the championship, he's wearing the Driven Mania title?
Let me go and change all my questions.
Yeah, could be. Or just send him the cheat sheets.
Send him a replica.
Sorry, Cass.
That'd be pretty dope, though. It's funny, though. See, yeah. I think Greg Cherry, love that. He's a good dude, but like you could see he's like he would love to be on the show. Because every time Scott will like finish a show and tweet stuff, he'll answer back and be like, here's what my answers would have been. I would have been really good. I should be on the show. Like, but you're not, dude. So
you're not, dude.
Next time, try to you're be. Not. But he's good. Cherry's good. And yeah. I love to see these guys on the show. So we'll have to wait and see. And what else we got here for WWE before we get into our predictions? Eric Bischoff has been announced to go into the Hall of Fame. He will be joining Molly Holly.
Oh, wow.
Interesting, because he does a lot of AEW appearances. So I thought that was interesting that they pulled him in this year. Deserves it. But at the same time, shows WWE is not that petty that they'll bring him in. I think that's good. And you know what? Aren't they inducting the NWO at the same time from last year? So I think it also makes sense to tie in the NWO in 2020. It's good timing. Maybe he comes out.
I feel like the NWO has already been in there like five times.
No, they have not.
Is Scott Hall going to be the first three-time? Is there a three-timer?
Hulk Hogan? Is he not? No.
Well, because Scott Hall could go in as Scott Hall.
Scott Hall's in one time right now. Scott Hall.
I think he's
in a Scott Hall.
I think he's and NWO.
NWO's not in yet.
Oh. Yeah,
this is going to be. Okay, NWO is 2020. So they're doing the 2 years together this year because they couldn't do last year's.
Okay, so the Bellas are going
in,
too?
Yes, the Bellas are going. Yeah, everybody, So Molly Holly is going in with Eric Bischoff, and I guess Eric Bischoff will do some tie-in with the NWO, I imagine.
Because, if they do Scott Hall with the Outsiders, Scott Hall as himself, and then Scott Hall as NWO.
They could do that, but, they won't.
They should. Outsiders are great.
What else we got? So, New Day picked up the tag titles off of the Hurt Business.
No?
Yeah. Just randomly to go onto a program with AJ Styles and Almas at WrestleMania. This is strange. Whatever. A lot of people are upset for AJ. I saw some people complaining, like, oh, this is you re-sign him to a new contract, and this is what you give him. This is his WrestleMania program. I don't know. Like, what did you want? Did you want him in the WWE Championship picture? There's only room for one. And the way they're playing it is he talks about this being the only title he has not held. So, why not? Let it play out. Him and Almas will be fine. They're fine together. So, outside of taking it off the Hurt Business, which I feel like should be involved some way or the other in this match or in a tag match or something, kind of sucks to strip them just like that before WrestleMania. But obviously having the New Day having the tag titles is pretty cool. They're 100-time champions at this point. And I thought that was strange. But almost getting in the ring interests me. So they've been funny.
He's huge.
They've been funny. They've been fun. So hopefully that'll turn out.
New Day has to have a tag team championship match at WrestleMania. It's the only thing that works.
I feel like it should be with the Usos always. Just have to let them square off, but it just doesn't work out. So, okay. One last thing before we get into our predictions, J-Bomb. I don't know if you caught it on Raw, but Asuka made her big return. We have a visitor on Talkamania. J-Bomb's daughter just stepped in, and she's commandeered, taken over, overthrown the podcast. Now he's scolding her. Now she's crying. He just hit her. He's pulling her by the hair. I'm calling the cops.
Jesus. Okay, hold on. Asuka made her return.
Yes, she made a return a lot earlier than people expected. Her future for WrestleMania was in doubt. A lot of question marks because not only did she smash her teeth in, she had a concussion. So that set her back. And we know she's had, a few bumps before. Like, I remember that power bomb from Sasha Banks to Asuka on the outside of the ring. Like, her head smacking. Yeah. She took, I don't think she went out and wrestled the next night. But, dude, that looked nasty. So, she's been around a while. She's been bumped around. A concussion this late in her career is not great. So, a lot of people were wondering. But she showed up. And, dude, she was fucking aggressive. She kicked the shit out of Shayna Baszler. Took the turnbuckle pad off the bottom. And then, stomped her in the corner. And was trying to just, fuck her teeth up. And then the ref kind of broke it up, protected her, and she kind of cut an English promo where she's like, Shayna, 2 weeks ago, did big damage. So it's she came back for retribution. And I don't know what this means, though. I don't know what this means.
Well, like, Dez, maybe it's finally Shayna versus Asuka, and Shayna's going to take
imagine, you were right all along. This whole time, a year. It would have been like almost a year of being right. The whole game was going to be Shayna Baszler. It's weird because Asuka would turn fucking mad, like really, really angry. And Shayna was almost like you saw her like, holy shit, what is the, I'm so, whoa. You know, like she was like, something. And I don't know if it's going to switch Baszler to being a face, or they're just kind of trying to repackage her into an aggressive competitor, Asuka. Good to see.
Yeah.
But I don't know what this means for WrestleMania. And I don't think they know either. It looks like they're kind of like changing their minds on lots of things. And we don't know what we're going to get at WrestleMania. We thought Charlotte was going to challenge Asuka, but Charlotte wasn't even on Raw this week. She wasn't even around anywhere. So it's kind of weird not to have her if she's leading into WrestleMania. And then we have all these other women who kind of claimed their stake and wanted to challenge for the title. Did they not know what they were doing this week? Are they planting seeds? They're just making it up on the fly. I don't know, but they could have at least done Asuka versus Shayna at Fastlane. That's right now not on the card, so I don't know what the plans are. I can't imagine them stretching this out until WrestleMania. But again, 3 weeks isn't that long. I don't think they know, but we'll see what happens. It's good to see her back, and it's good to see an aggressive side of her. I don't know if she's turning heel. I don't know what this means, but I like it better than what they've been doing with her lately. So,
well, it's a breath of fresh air at least, right?
Yeah, boy.
All right. Predictions.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Dez and J-Bob's predictions.
All right, Dez, it's Fastlane, the last pay-per-view before WrestleMania, baby. It's this Sunday, March something, 22nd? I'm going to take a wild guess.
21st.
21. The night after Trivamania.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be a fun weekend. I'm looking forward to this. I have my questions done, spending some time today polishing off my audio. I'm guessing you're going to be a contestant, right? Let's do it.
Oh, yeah, so we didn't get anybody new?
Cool. Right, so we got Scott, Cass, and J-Bomb, the Boozer. We're going to be bringing it. It's going to be a lot of fun, guys. Make sure to check it out this weekend. We'll be tweeting out the deets, though. But like J-Bomb said, on Sunday, we got Fastlane. It's the last pay-per-view, if you want to call it that, on the road to WrestleMania. And let's get right into it, guys. So right now, the card does not look that full. They even look like they took off the Shane versus Braun match at Fastlane that was supposed to happen.
It's not there right now.
No.
Right?
So people were talking about that today. For those of you who caught last week's podcast or are watching Raw Weekly, this is one of the worst programs for quite some time for me. Maybe since the whole Rusev Lashley Lana thing, which everybody else loved, but I hated. I think this is so cringy. I feel like they don't know what they're doing. They're both not great at doing their promos. I don't feel there's a real purpose behind this. The whole feud is happening because Shane thinks Braun's dumb. Like, I don't know. It's been poor. They wrestled this past week on Raw where Shane was able to slime Braun Strowman, like green slime him.
Like Nickelodeon?
Yeah, Nickelodeon
slime?
Slimed him. And okay. I don't know why. And it's just kind of silly. It looks like they're just trying to get Shane in a match, and they're giving Braun Strowman a match because he didn't have a match. And it just seems so forced, and I'm so not invested in this. Whatever. Braun Strowman's going to beat him anyways when it comes down to it. If it's going to happen at Fastlane, if it's going to happen at WrestleMania, and I don't know, man. Like, was Shane going to be WrestleMania jumping off the ship, I guess? Is that what's happening?
I don't know, man, but I mean, I could see it not being on Fastlane because they're going to hold off
that's probably
until
it.
WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's probably
so.
It. But this is a terrible waste of space, waste of time for me every single week, this crap. So
this card looks
there's those matches on WrestleMania that sometimes are just like, oh, what a waste of a fucking spot. And I'm not happy with this whole Braun Strowman, Shane McMahon one, you know?
Well, here, look, if it's Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon and Shane does a huge fucking jump off of something.
Into a giant cardboard box. It looks worse and worse every time.
I'm still okay.
I don't know. Okay, so for the matches that we do have, let's start off with this one because this one's a bit weird. We have Alexa Bliss versus Randy Orton.
Yeah, am I reading this right? Is there an intergender match on this card?
Well, on paper, sure. But if you guys have been watching Raw the past, months, obviously The Fiend got burned by Randy Orton. He's teasing his return. Alexa Bliss keeps saying he's going to bring him back. He's going to resurrect him. You know, all that black Papa Shango tar coming out of the mouth. and all these mind games. Randy Orton sees himself, but somebody else is talking to him in a different voice. So I have to imagine this is taking us to WrestleMania. And I imagine, since we only have 3 weeks left or so, this will be the return of the Fiend. It's got to be. They got to start building up that shit for WrestleMania. So, again, rumor is he might even have a new look because he was burned. So that could be
the Fiend. Oh,
that could be interesting. A little bit of a refresh,
like a half mask or something.
A little bit of a refresh version of him going into WrestleMania. I'm sure he's gonna be super motivated. We haven't seen him since Luke Harper passed away either. So I'm pretty sure like he's taking his time to kind of, you know, find his inner peace and like focus and come back and deliver for WrestleMania season. It's gonna be great. I imagine it's gonna be like Alexa Bliss there, and then she'll like transform into the Fiend or something, and then it'll be like the Fiend beating down on him, or she'll be running around. I don't know if it'll be a filmed match or something, but I'm interested to see what they do. Ultimately, I don't think the match is gonna happen. There won't be like a bell, and there won't be a pinfall.
So no bumps for Alexa Bliss?
No, I guess not.
Oh, I want to see it.
But I imagine the match is just kind of like a. I think we all kind of know, right? We all kind of know this is just the Fiend returning. So it's weird.
I really hope it's...
Because it's not a big card. So like if this is one match, they have to have some kind of segment unless he kind of transforms into him, his image or something like that. And at the end, like he wins and then he transforms back to her and she's like, hee hee hee. And then she pins him or some shit. Like, I don't know.
If Alexa Bliss pins Randy Orton, that'd be fucking awesome. I hope it's not a cinematic match, but I hope it's a match that happens in the ring where there's cuts. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like what they did with the fire and stuff. I like that better than a pure cinematic match. Take advantage of the time that remains in this COVID era to make in-ring matches look unbelievable like that.
These are things you wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. And on that note, too, like they're moving back towards having fans. Like they have started telling their talent to work through commercials now. Before they were taking breaks, they could just stop. Because they knew when they're coming back, there was no fans there, but they're getting used to it again, that routine and working through, doing choke holds and rest holds and shit like that.
Yeah.
But they're getting told to continue to start working now through commercials in preparation. So I think once we have WrestleMania, they're going to see how it goes. And then I wouldn't be surprised if shortly after that, you're going to start seeing fans that, as we start going out end of spring into the summer. I think by SummerSlam, we got fans back. I would think so. I would hope so. And I think the U.S. is a little bit ahead in terms of vaccinations. And they also have a I-don't-give-a-fuck attitude about things. So
they're way ahead.
Yeah, so, you know.
Way ahead.
They handled it. They handled it like shit, but then they get the fucking vaccines because they have all the money and the fucking power and swing. So.
Well, that and Justin Trudeau is a fucking simp bitch.
I mean, he's a face-up puppet. Like, it's not him that's behind a table saying, it's me that it's the whole government. It's the whole way it was just handled. And plus, at the same time, where we're getting our vaccines from aren't where everybody else did. And we're relying on like a company who ended up fucking. I don't know. Something wrong with the shipment or some shit. We hear different things every day.
Okay,
I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
All I know is get me my fucking
the most
vaccine.
Important shipment in Canadian fucking history has an issue with it. Yeah. Okay. Fuck off.
Well, I think it's just a delay in how much they made. I think the company promised like lots of companies different things, and they're like, "Oh, Canada, you ordered your order number 15. We're only on order number 8 right now. So sorry, Canada. Sorry. We'll give you maple syrup, eh? Come on, we need our vaccine.
Come on, man. We'll trade you.
Play hockey.
You ever had a beaver tail, man? We'll ship you some of those.
I've had like two or three beaver tails. They're good. Dude, the cinnamon ones, the regular ones, they give you a lemon sometimes to put with it. And I'm like, why would I put a lemon on a cinnamon tail? Do it. It's good. Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's actually pretty good, bro. Ugh,
sounds fucked up.
It's actually pretty good. All right. So, Alexa Bliss, Randy Orton, what do you think's going to happen?
I think
you nailed
it.
Right? Yeah.
The Fiend's coming. Yeah. The Fiend's beating Randy Orton, and it's moving to WrestleMania.
All right. Let's move on. We got the Intercontinental Championship, Big E versus Apollo Crews, who has now changed his identity completely, has an accent. Really weird. It's really weird.
Apollo Crews has an accent.
They're doing the reverse
Kofi?
Kofi Kingston, yeah.
That's pretty fucking terrible. This is a match that should be on pre-card, unfortunately. But it is what it is. Big E retains. There's not much more to say. Apollo who?
He's from the U.S. as far as I know, but he's basically, his new gimmick is he is a Nigerian royalty or something. So if he's cool with it, that's cool. Doesn't really bother me.
Yeah.
I just don't want WWE being like, let's put him in some kind of stereotypical role. I don't think Apollo would fly for that, so it must be something that he wants to embrace. I think he has some family heritage, but not himself. Just weird to switch, you know, just switch randomly. You know, whatever, man. Good for these guys getting opportunities. I wish Nakamura was still in the picture. He was so hot after that gauntlet, and then he just lost to Apollo, and people forgot about him. But no, Big E's going to retain. He's going to wrestle. He's going to WrestleMania with this title. He'll probably be in some, like, unless it's like Apollo wins it back, and then Big E wins it at WrestleMania back. Oh, fuck. They might do that to get Big E, like, a big win at WrestleMania, right? Another IC title run, and,
I don't know. Maybe we're thinking too much of it. I think Big E just beats the shit out of Apollo Crews.
No, you know what? I'm going to go with Apollo. Apollo has this new gimmick. This is a time where it's like you repackage somebody for a purpose. You want to make them look strong. You want to add some credibility behind them. To have him change his gimmick and then just lose again, like same old Apollo. We've been watching this program for fucking months now, it feels. I feel like he's going to win, and then I feel like Big E's going to win that title back at WrestleMania. So I'm actually going to go with Apollo, and it adds some kind of excitement in this pay-per-view because they're going to need it.
All right. I'm not switching mine. You haven't convinced me. I'm sticking with Big E.
Got ya. All right. Let's move on to the women's tag team titles. We've had Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. They've been together for quite some time, two-time champs. Now they got Reginald with them, that dude who was with Carmella. He's causing all kinds of problems. He's throwing Sasha off whack. Causing tension between Belair and Sasha, heading into Fastlane, heading into WrestleMania. So look, man, we haven't had a lot of tag team partners winning the titles and heading off to WrestleMania, right? We had the possibility right here with Sasha and Bianca. They could go to WrestleMania as the tag team champions, but they might not. I don't know how you're feeling, but I don't feel like it's their kind of... It's not going to happen, I feel, at least.
Well, with the news of Asuka coming back and maybe having a program with Shayna Baszler, this seems like a perfect opportunity to put the title on Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair, have them going in as double champs and having to face each other and them still coming out and being friends. You could avoid that whole feud and just have it like a really, you know, clean match. And then you have Shayna Baszler and Nia breaking up and then Shayna going to face Asuka. So all that kind of works.
But I feel like you got to have the women's tag team titles in a match at WrestleMania, right? You want to add more matches. You got two nights as well. So
yeah, but they could do double duty.
They could do double duty.
Sasha and Bianca could do double duty. Yeah. They could.
It would be cool to do the tag team match after the title match even. To see the aftermath, the fallout.
I don't know if I'm alone on that, but like, see how they react to each other after. It would be interesting to see, but I don't know if they would do it. But it would be interesting as fuck.
But what you say is pretty interesting, too, with, like, Asuka now and Shayna Baszler. Like, what's going to happen? Maybe Asuka even shows up on Sunday and causes some kind of shit, right? Like, who knows, right? Yeah. Oh, and that's why Asuka's not going to face her at Fastlane. Duh. Come on, Mike. So, I think it could be good. Could be good having them go into it. But I feel like they also need those titles to tell a story and have an extra match, WrestleMania. I don't think they need to be partners. Reginald's caused a thorn in the side, been a distraction. And also, I agree with you. I think they should have went into this match with two people that respect each other, putting on a competitive match. Sasha still could have showed that edginess and sassiness, but so could Bianca. So it's kind of like they're both like tweeners or neither or, you know, or whatever they are. But I feel like they're starting to push Sasha towards being a heel. We've seen it on SmackDown a little bit. I don't know if it's getting caught up with her being kind of a diva or kind of being sassy. It could still be that. But they've kind of painted towards her being the one that's, the baddie. So, don't know. I don't know now with Asuka. This whole thing threw me kind of for a loop. But I don't know if they're going to go into WrestleMania's tag champs. We've had a lot of these, like, two belts champs. I think they're going to retain. I think they'll...
But Sasha and Belair could still win at Fastlane and lose before Mania.
Then they're passing their titles around too much at this point.
Yeah, but still, they love to do that.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go with... I don't know, Asuka being there, though, could be... I don't know.
I'm going with Sasha and Belair.
I'll go with the tag titles being retained. We gotta build that wedge between Sasha and Bianca. And I know that seems really obvious to just have them lose and kind of build tension off that, but... Dude, it's WWE. They're going to do that. They're going to go predictable, I think. So I will go with them not winning those tag team titles. Cool. All right. Awesome. Let's move on. What else we got? We got Roman Reigns taking on DB, Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan beats Roman Reigns. Then we get Edge versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania for the Universal title, which we ain't getting.
That ain't happening.
So I think we're in agreement here. Roman Reigns will win this match. At the very, very, very least, Daniel Bryan will be put into this as a triple threat, I feel.
There'll be a ton of storytelling in this match, but at the end of the day, Roman's winning.
I'm just wondering if they put Daniel Bryan in as a triple threat, because it seems like they've really kind of been putting him into this a lot harder, and him saying this might be my one of my last WrestleManias, the main event, and blah, 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 blah. So, like, if he doesn't do this, what program does he fall into? Is he going to go right from this into, like, a Battle Royale match or some shit? So
Jey Uso.
Maybe.
Have Daniel.
Maybe.
Because it says here there's a stipulation. It's Edge or Jey Uso as a special guest enforcer. You know they're both going to be there.
It was Edge, wasn't it, the special enforcer, I think, in the end?
Well, it says here Edge or Jey Uso will be the special guest enforcer. Regardless of who it gets or who it is, both of them are coming out here, guys. Both of them are going to get involved in this match. Edge is ultimately going to face Roman Reigns. I think it's a real shit show if they make Daniel Bryan a third party in this match. Just have Daniel Bryan versus Jey Uso in WrestleMania. Oh. It was great on SmackDown. Here's the thing, though.
I think they hinted towards Roman Reigns having more backup on Sunday. So I think Jimmy's coming back on Sunday. That is my side prediction on this match. I think Roman Reigns wins. And yes, Edge gets involved. Jey gets involved. But then there's going to be one more number on Roman's side. It's going to be returning Jimmy. And then you have Roman going with an entourage into WrestleMania, and it's going to be awesome. And it also can give you like a bit of like tag team match with Daniel Bryan in there. But at the same time, they also have to distance him if he's not going to be in this package, in this program. And again, it probably should be a one-on-one. I don't think throwing Daniel Bryan in there is a great idea.
Not for Edge's, Royal Rumble victory match.
He shouldn't win, though. Like, do we think Edge is going to win that title off Roman Reigns at WrestleMania? Because I don't. He won't win it.
Oh, no, I don't think so either, but...
I don't see in what world he could pull that off. Like, Roman Reigns is just a beast. He's just like... He will crunch Edge into a fucking box, into a ball, and throw him in the garbage. Like, but Edge is starting to look fucking jacked, man. I don't know what he's doing, what he's on, or whatever, but, like, he's gaining fucking mass. So he's...
To throw a third person into a match like this where somebody won the Royal Rumble is the same thing with, Charlotte and Becky, and it didn't go over well. I don't see why Daniel Bryan should be thrown into this, especially that Edge earned it via that. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it would be stupid. So, there you go. You got Reigns. I got Reigns. I don't know why we're saving this one for last. I must have missed it because it's definitely not the most exciting card. Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus. No stipulation on the line. These guys have brought each other to fucking war. This should be like a no DQ match. I don't know if it is, if you have the wiki open or whatever it is, but...
No, it doesn't say there's
a stipulation. Okay, so like these guys have brought each other to hell. We've had in the Elimination Chamber, Sheamus picking up the win on Drew. We've had Drew picking up the win on Sheamus. This is going to kind of be the rubber match after a lot of draws and just war these guys have had. So I think this could be a really good match. I think it's going to be better than we think. Obviously on paper it looks a bit meh. Fuck that. I know a lot of people are shitting on Sheamus and shitting on these guys, but like the last few matches they've had have been fucking good.
I'm sure it's going to be a fine match. So I think it'll be good. We know the outcome.
But outcome. Okay, guys, let's be smart. Let's be realistic here. Drew McIntyre is going to win this match. He is going to WrestleMania. They're not going to have him lose the match at Fastlane. It makes no sense. So no. Drew all the way. And this will finally put that closed chapter, hopefully, on the feud between Drew and Sheamus. I know they have a lot of history. It ended up being a lot better than I thought it was going to be. But I don't know, man. Like I think it's time to move on and let's do Lashley.
Yeah, Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns. These guys aren't losing at Fastlane. It's just not happening. It's just not fucking happening.
Cool. All right, we'll end it on that, guys. There you have it. Fastlane predictions in the books, guys. Make sure to tune out this weekend. And guys, make sure to check Trimania 11. It's happening. Yeah. I got my questions prepared. I'm excited. We're ready to go. It's going to be J-Bomb, Chris Cass defending his title. Go against J-Bomb and against Scott. The Scott. Dude, he is on WWE The Bump. Stump the Bump. He is in the finals, man. That's a pretty fucking big milestone.
When is the finals?
WWE is tweeting his name and all that shit, and he's been on TV, and he goes to WrestleMania. He can sign your fucking autograph. Finals is coming up. I don't know the exact. I think imagine it's next Wednesday. It's been every Wednesday, but I don't know if they're going to do something special for the finals. And then I believe if he wins this finals, then he goes on to face like the WWE official, like their trivia dude or some shit. Yeah. Oh. So like that's going to be cool to check out. We'll be hitting Trivia Mania this weekend on Saturday. We'll be tweeting out the deets, guys. Join Twitch.tv, Talkamaniac, Talkamania TV. Yes, I don't know.
Twitch.tv slash Talkamania TV.
Google us, you'll find us. 5-star subscribe, all that shit. Be a Talkamaniac.
All right. Yeah, so predictions are in, guys. It's going to be an epic wrestling weekend. Fastlane, Trivamania. Guys, tune in. On behalf of Talkamania, J-Bomb is out. Dez,
say bye. Happy Rusev Day.